Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Darren and Lito will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
This is the American Ninja Warrior song.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehappa podcast. I'm your host, Turn Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I am doing wonderful. I just got back from the beach yesterday and got back from the archery range about 5 minutes ago, so I'm all outdoorsy and ready to be a ninja.
Yes. Archery at the beach, very ninja-esque.
Yeah, those were not related.
No, they're definitely, I'm pretty sure that what you just said was that they were related.
Yeah, but if I was filming my package for American Ninja Warrior, I could be like the beach archer ninja.
Yes, exactly. So it's a great selling
point. It combines two mildly not really interesting things into one, I guess, kind of interesting thing.
Did you hit any bullseyes?
I did, one.
Out of how many?
Okay, so the way that this was set up, it's like a free archery range in a park. And I was there with my boyfriend who has like his own archery equipment. So there's not really like targets there that have like the rings like a conventional target. It's more just like a big pad that you shoot at. And we brought stickers that we were shooting. So when I say I got a bullseye, I hit the small sticker,
you got a sticker.
Once. Yeah. So it's not really out of how my, like, I did pretty well for my first time ever, but not a ton of hitting the sticker.
Free archery range in the park sounds a little dangerous.
Yes, it's like a massive park, and this is sort of a distinct area. But
is this like the greatest game sort of park where like people might wander into the archery range and now you're going to be hunting them?
I would hope not. It's pretty distinct where the archery range starts, and because you have to bring your own equipment, there aren't very many newbies there. So like you gotta know the rules of the archery range. I don't know. There was a guy there who was shooting a crossbow at targets, and I thought that was a little unnecessary. He was like literally on his belly on the ground shooting.
All right. Well, we are here to talk about the American Ninja Warrior Season 11, Episode 12, Cincinnati City Finals.
Yeah, I like that this whole thing was sort of still trying to claim LeBron James, even though he doesn't live there anymore. In Ohio?
Didn't even realize.
Well, you know how there was an entire basketball obstacle?
Oh, was that for LeBron James?
Well, it's because, like, Ohio is like crazy about basketball of the Cleveland Cavaliers. But Akbar was making a ton of LeBron references and all of that as if he still lives in Ohio.
Right. But he doesn't.
He doesn't anymore. That is correct.
Very, very important to know.
And information Taryn definitely already knew.
Yes. So this was an episode.
An overcorrection of the last two.
Yeah. Bit strange. So we get a course here. It's a course. It's the same course as before, the qualifying course plus some extras, starting with, of course, the shrinking steps, ring swing, spinning bridge, wing nuts, slingshot, and warped wall, followed by the salmon ladder, slam dunk, which was, I guess, this basketball oriented obstacle. You'd think that the basketball obstacle would be more difficult than the Angry Birds obstacle, just concept-wise alone. But no, you grab onto what is essentially like a ball with handles on the side, and then you just have to hop it into the next little loop, and then jump to the next one, hop that one, jump to the next one, and then dismount. And I don't think many people fell on this one.
Yeah, there were a couple, but I mean, the other thing is that the little hoops that you jump it into are in descending height. So it's not even like you have to jump up. You just have to jump forward.
Yeah. And and like the handles are on the side. So like you don't even have to you don't have to be precise with it. It's like a ball. So
yeah,
as long as you just kind of mostly get it into that thing, it's going to land right. So felt kind of easy.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know. It's, I don't want to say it's a shame, but it does like undermine it a little bit when we have like all of these amazing finishers and it's like a significantly easier course.
Yeah, I even feel like the order in which they aired the episodes hurt. Having two back to back crazy hard, like no finisher finals.
Yeah.
Then having this one, I feel like if we had done this one first, we wouldn't feel like it was so dramatically easier.
Yeah, yeah. And it was after two courses that were quite difficult.
Exactly. So it's quite a lot. And then then after Slam Dunk is Spinball Wizard, which is a series of just sort of, you just, well, they grab like little tennis ball looking things on the ends of like a fork. And
what a visual.
You just kind of, you know, hopped. It's only like three or four of them. Mm-hmm. You just kind of hop over. They spin sometimes, sometimes not. This again was, I don't feel like this was usually like a back half of the course kind of ninth obstacle kind of obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was, I also feel that having two women do it in the same episode was weird because then they have to show their cards and show who they like better, right? Because the anchor, the very last run in Jesse LeBrec is going to be like a more primetime spot than being right in the middle like Michelle Warnke.
But also now the third instead of the second.
I guess, yeah. But I don't know. It was just a little odd.
Yeah, the whole thing was odd. When we'll get to it, but like, not to say that it wasn't great as well.
Oh yeah.
But if Jesse Graff had done this in the episode where nobody else had finished, like that would have been more exciting, I think.
Yeah.
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 This felt unfortunately more like they lowered the difficulty than like anybody really like stepped up their game to a whole new level necessarily. Yeah. Which is not to say that they didn't, because they absolutely might have, just the way that it seemed based on the structure of the when they aired the episodes, plus how many people finished and all that. It's definitely how it seemed.
Yeah.
All right. So Let's get into the runs here. We started the night with Philip Scott, who very nearly didn't even run. He had panic attacks before he started. He was on the phone to the producers like, I don't want to do this. And they talked him into it. And he decided to run anyway. And good thing, because he did well.
Yeah. And everybody gets emotional, including Zuri.
Yes. And not only does he do well, but he is going to qualify for Vegas.
Yeah, he went out on the ninth obstacle.
Yes. One of two people to go out on Spinball Wizard, that deadly ninth obstacle.
Yes. So deadly. It took out two people. But yeah, I mean, this is really nice. He's talked about having struggles with like fitting in with people. And I think that this is something we see a lot, especially with young men on the show, about how it helped them find a community. Because like they were lacking in some sort of like social element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was cool, and it was a great way to start the night. And it's really, again, just like they really just, obviously they didn't intend for this, or at least I wouldn't think so, but they really just packed in like all of the great moments into one episode.
Yeah.
Which like kind of like desensitizes you to it a little bit, but this one was a great way to start the night. Zuri was crying. He was crying. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And he's from Southeast Michigan. So hometown hero.
Then we had Jerry D'Aurelio, who is going to, again, also do pretty well here. We talked about how, I think it was it the Jesse Graff city that was like really stacked with women?
Yeah, because it was Jesse and Megan.
Right, right. This one, though, you know, Jerry does very well, making it all the way through the Salmon Ladder and ends up going down on Slam Dunk.
So close to finishing it, though.
Yes. Not that it would have mattered, ultimately. No. Actually, no, it would have. She would have qualified.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
If, yeah, she had made it through, she would have been, she would have qualified for Vegas.
Yeah, but considering that she had never made it through the fifth obstacle and almost gets to the eighth, big win for Jerry.
Yes.
And she was deployed this year, so she couldn't ninja train, I guess.
No, that ninja train. Gotta hop on it.
You gotta get on the ninja train. Toot.
Yes. So she does well here. And then we have Cameron Knave, who recently had his father pass away. He is going to go down on the Wingnuts. You had Philip Huckey, who had the big beard that Lita is very fond of.
Yeah, I recall. Yeah.
He went out on the slingshot. And Christopher Gabayan, who made it to the slingshot as well, after a close call on the spinning bridge.
Yeah, and this montage is when they highlight that they couldn't get the Bengals cheerleaders clearly, which is their NFL team. So they got the Cincinnati Bearcats cheerleader, not an animal, a bearcat.
I mean, you don't know that.
I think it's a bad mascot, and if you can't get the Bengals cheerleaders, one of the finest cheerleading squads in the country, don't do it at all.
Sometimes when I pet my cat, he makes a face like it's a polar bear.
Okay, so they are the Cincinnati Bearcats are your cat making that face?
I mean, I'm not ruling it out.
Why a polar bear specifically? Your cat is not white.
Excuse me. I didn't realize you had to be white in order to look like a polar bear. I didn't realize that you were that kind of person.
I think that that's pretty factual.
You know, polar bears make that face when they stick their faces up and they close their eyes and they look like polar bears.
When polar bears make the face that makes them look like polar bears. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that could be any kind of bear.
Yeah, but it's,
they all have similar faces.
It's more a polar bear thing.
Okay, I'm just Google imaging polar bears now. This is kind of depressing because of climate change.
Mm.
Oh, they're so cute.
Right?
Yeah, bears are one of my favorite animals. Bears and raccoons.
All right, look up polar bears happy. And then... Okay.
It's going to be the Coca-Cola commercial.
There's like a few rows down. There's a polar bear that's like stretching out. It says Happy Thanksgiving from Churchill. I don't know why. That's the polar bear face.
Can this go in the show notes? Oh my god, they're so cute. Okay, I'm gonna buy myself some polar bear slippers for the winter. you've really sold me on polar bears.
There you go. All right.
Okay, so they're the Bearcats. Fine.
Boom. Next up was Brandon Mears, one of the Towers of Power. He is going to go ahead and complete the course right away. Yeah. This is the fourth or fifth run of the episode? Sixth run?
Yeah. And he's got a date with Destiny, he says, so it's a good thing that he finishes it because it would be very rude to stand up Destiny.
Well, I mean...
For his date.
Destiny.
Yes.
It's dangerous.
Okay. He's got a second kid now.
Yes. He's the taller of the two, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's how I differentiate them.
Okay. They look very different.
He had this was interesting. It looked like he had security footage of his own home to give to the producers to capture the actual moment, potentially, where he was told that his wife was pregnant.
Oh yeah, maybe. It was a weird angle, yeah.
Because, like, it's a weird thing to recreate for the show, especially from a weird security camera angle, so...
Yeah. Oh,
I wonder if, like, he just genuinely has security cameras in his house and they had that actual recording.
Maybe for the baby, they probably have cameras in their house. Oh, interesting. Yeah, he also has, like, the best reaction that I've ever seen to finishing the course. He's in complete disbelief and it's just like, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah. So congratulations to Brandon Mears for a completed course here. We then get to Amanda O'Dell, who is that's the lunch lady.
Right.
Ninja. Yes. She went out on the ring swing. Then I had Eddie Russell, who made it to the Wingnuts. We had Mike Wright, Speedo guy.
Yeah, Speedo guy. You don't like Mike Wright.
He did not qualify.
I'm sure you're so happy. So anti-Speedo.
Nothing against Mike Wright. I'm just not I'm not pro-Speedo.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can be wrong.
Next, we have Sam Gray, who is a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and his name is Sem Say.
Ah, yes, and Matt was really enjoying doing like the wrestler voice. Like, and the next person we've got up here is.
Why is your wrestler voice a pirate?
I don't know. I've never done one before.
The next wrestler we have, matey.
I'm trying to remember it.
Yeah, it's like standing at 5'8" and whatever pounds.
Well, no, I think he was doing like the wrestler, like, and I'm going to mess you up here.
Oh yeah. Like Randy Savage.
Sure.
He's not only a wrestler, he's a heel, which means that he's the villain.
Ah, well, see, that must be what he was going for here, Matt.
Yeah, maybe.
So he made it all the way to Slam Dunk, and he is going to qualify for Vegas. He gets there fast enough.
I like that they kept coming to one single guy in the audience who was like really into this. So they just kept cutting to him.
He's also apparently 19 years old, which he does not look.
Yeah, no, that's a lie. He's 32.
Yeah, you checked the birth records, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know that I'm first and foremost a birther.
Mm.
this guy specifically, Sam Garay.
So next up was Michelle Warnke, who, man, that cut must be real bad.
Yeah, because she's still got a scar. Yeah,
it's been weeks. It's been a month and a half, and it's still looking like she just got it last night.
I mean, it does look bad.
It does. I will say it did look like it kind of like maybe gave her a little, like in the actual later interviews, like she might actually have like a little bit of a scar from it. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, she got whacked pretty hard. That was a lot of blood.
Yes. Her package here was about how I am not going to remember the actual thing that she has.
The BRCA gene.
Yes. Which predisposes her to.
Breast cancer.
And the way to I did not follow all of this.
But like, would you like me to just explain it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Michelle Warnke has the BRCA gene, which is a genetic predisposition to breast cancer. So if you have it, it means that you are, I'm not sure how much it is, X percent more likely to get breast cancer against genetic passed down through the family. And the best thing to do for a lot of people is to just get preemptive surgery. So a lot of people will get double mastectomies just to make sure that they don't get breast cancer because they are so at risk for it. It's something that you should get tested for if you are a woman and there is any breast cancer in your family, like at all, because this is something that, like, if you catch it early, it's very preventable. But if you're not looking for it, then you won't find it.
Yes. But it was also, because the thing that it's also ovarian cancer, right?
Oh, maybe. I only know about it from, for breast cancer.
Because what she talked about was that this could theoretically, you know, have an impact on having kids at some point in the future.
Yeah.
And at this point, I was like, I feel like I'm intruding on her life now, because now she's talking about like, so I've got this boyfriend now and we've talked about it and we're trying to figure out like if we can make things work because I might not be able to have kids. And like, I was like, you don't need to get into your personal life about like.
Maybe it's therapeutic for her.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, to just share it with everybody. But it is something that like, I think a lot of people don't know about it. And I only know about it because there is breast cancer in my family. But if you don't know about it, it's good for women to be aware to get checked. So I'm glad, like, this was kind of odd because I sort of felt like she wasn't going to finish because I was like, this is such a specific, like, tearjerker package.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that if she was going to finish, it would have been like about, you know, her last, you know, a month and a half ago in Cincinnati, I got hurt and this is what was going through my mind. But I'm glad that she had the opportunity to share this.
Yes. And what a run. She does really well. I really like this was obviously everyone knows I love Jesse LeBrec. And her run was fantastic. But this one, I was not expecting her to finish. And and it was also like a little more touch and go. Whereas when Jessie LeBrec ran, I was like, she's definitely making it.
Yeah.
I had no doubt in my mind. So this one was kind of like the more exciting one of the episode from my point of view. She got through Slam Dunk, and you could tell as she was like getting through Slam Dunk, like she was sticking her, like doing the stick in the tongue out thing. And like, she was like, oh my God, I think I might get this. And then like the second she got onto Spinball Wizard, she was like, oh my God, I can definitely do this obstacle.
Yeah.
And, like, you could see in her face that she knew she would finish on Spinball Wizard. And I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah. And Akbar cannot hold it together. He shot on us so many times. Alyssa's crying, like everybody's freaking out. They do like a picture in picture of Casey and Michelle hitting the buzzers. Like, she's the first woman in 5 years.
Yes.
To do it. And your music theory is back.
Yes, it is. Alyssa crying on the sidelines broke me, and I was just like, ah.
Do you get emotional?
Very much so. When you've been in the crowd, you know how emotional it can get. I remember people crying the first time that Jessie LeBrec ran in Philly, because I was there, and how far she got, and people were emotional over that. And so I could only imagine how emotionally they were getting over this run here with Michelle. And she's also, from what I can tell, like very popular, and everyone loves Michelle. And so to see her succeed in this way is so cool. And she deserves it too, because she really was one of the first, female ninjas to really break through and finish a qualifying course and all that stuff. So very, very cool.
She's lovely. We met her in Vegas when we went a few years ago. She was not running, but I chatted with her for a few minutes. Lovely person.
So there you go. The second woman to ever finish a city finals course.
Yeah.
Soon. Now it's soon to be
not
repeated.
So Casey. Yeah. And the weirdest thing is when they're like, here's a picture of Casey reacting to Michelle's run. It's like, this makes no sense.
Yeah, that was
weird.
How
did they edit that in? Like, I don't get it.
It didn't feel necessary to me.
I just don't understand, because how could they, like, this was filmed so long ago and then aired, and how did Casey take that picture and then have them edit into the episode that was filmed so long ago?
They figured it out somehow. Okay. Or they just made it up.
Yeah, they just like, Casey, can you just send us a picture next to a blank TV and we'll edit something in?
Yeah. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So next up was Mike Bernardo, who unfortunately went down on the wingnuts after such a great run in the qualifying. It's very, very unfortunate. We just kind of skim by it here, but we won't be seeing Mike Bernardo in the Vegas finals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we had Reese Prankratz, who went out on the salmon ladder.
The unicycle guy.
Yes.
Okay. It's like some circus guy in this montage.
Then we get to Grant McCartney, who has been training extra hard so that he is not going to be one place removed from qualifying this time.
he brings Bootsy Collins and doesn't explain it at all.
Yeah.
There's no connection.
Like, they had Grant, but they teased that Grant McCartney was coming up, and then they're like, and here's Bootsy Collins. And I was like, oh, so we're not doing Grant McCartney. We're doing this person named Bootsy Collins. And then Grant came out, and I was like, oh, is Grant out here to support Bootsy on his run?
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, again, which is in Cleveland, not Cincinnati. Just truly no explanation for why he's here. And you know what, Grant? Maybe if you spent a little more time training and a little less time on your walk-on gimmicks, then you wouldn't miss Vegas so often.
Ouch.
I'm sick of this.
Grant, he's just a popular guy, so people want to, you know, come out and say, hey, I'm friends with him.
There has to be some sort of connection. Maybe if it was a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer from Hawaii, but maybe. It's not.
Well, I think they talked about how he's put on, I think, something like 15 to 30 pounds since last time, okay. I imagine of like muscle. But that just made me think back to when his dad, who was on the sidelines, talked about how he's eaten.
He's eaten.
Grant's been eaten.
I finally remember what you're talking about when you reference that.
So he's gonna take on the course, and it did seem like he was going down. He was going as quickly as he could. He wasn't stopping to do dance breaks, and he was, you know, taking on the course. And then really should have gone through slam dunk, I think, but just kind of missed one of the grabs there, and ends up going down, which again puts him close to the bubble for Vegas.
Yeah, but he has a new nickname. They call him G-Mac the whole time.
Do they?
Yes. Yes, they do.
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
All right, G-Mac.
Yeah, they literally do that the entire time.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Next was Derek Pavoni, who went down on the spinning bridge. And then Dan Palizzi is going to complete the course first fastest time of the night up until this point. And I guarantee you they edited this specifically so that they could say, will the Towers of Power be on the Power Tower together?
Yep.
Nope,
the only reason they mention it so early is so they can say that.
Yep. So then we get to Michael Torres, who's immediately going to say, nope, Powers of Tower are not going to be on the Power Tower. Towers of Power, I should say.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
I said Powers of Tower.
The Powers of Tower. That's like, it sounds like you're praying to the Powers of Tower. Michael Torres. So I love dogs. I have a grudge against Yorkies. I really don't like Yorkies. However, this dog doesn't even look like a Yorkie. It looks like just an adorable fur ball, and it does obstacles. So I am all in on Hershey, Michael Torres's dog.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Michael Torres is going to do very well here. He is going to also complete the course, and this is going to be the second fastest time of the night, which is great for Michael Torres, who's going to have a fantastic night.
Yeah. Hundo P. Literally everyone here is from Chicago.
Did they call Michael Torres M Tor?
No, but they should have. We can do it with everybody.
All right. Next up was D Rock. It's actually not a bad one. Dustin Rocco. This is the guy who they talked about how he used to be a competitor, but he took a break and now he's back, and he made it to slam dunk and is actually going to be the person that ends up on the bubble in the final qualifying spot.
Yes,
and he will qualify. Then
the RV guy.
Yes. He's the R one. I don't think he's the RV ninja, is he?
I don't know. I can't keep track of these things.
Yeah. Next up is Chris DeGangi, who is going to he's going to finish the finals course, but again, be short. This, like, here's the thing, Chris. You're never going to get the spotlight.
No, ever. Ever. You could finish and Jesse could fall on the first obstacle and she will still get a package and you will not.
Yeah. which, you know, understandable.
Good. Yeah. Also, C-Dig, not a bad nickname.
C-Dig, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. So this was another reason why Jesse was obviously going to complete the course, because they always do the exact same. They get the same same length in the course. Then we got to Jackson Twaite, who is going to. This is the cat guy.
Yeah, he was on the Power Tower.
Yes, he. Yes, it turns out he really needed that speed pass.
Yeah, turns out.
Yeah, he went down on the spinning bridge and almost kind of made was able to save it, but his feet went down and touched the water, and so just like any cat, or at least most cats that touch the water, that means they're out.
Yeah, but he doesn't have 9 lives. Also, maybe if he tried being shorter, then this wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I don't understand why he's just not shorter. I mean, it's pretty...
Duh, then your feet wouldn't have hit the water.
Yeah, get with it.
Yeah.
Next up was Tyler Smith, who went down on the Spinball Wizard, one of the two that went down there. I guess he did like a save, like his hand fell off of it and he held on with one hand. And then it happened again, and that time he fell.
He's an exterminator, so I wonder if he and whatever the entomologist's name is are natural enemies.
Or if he's just a Dalek.
Is that a Doctor Who?
Nice!
Look at me! Such a nerd.
Next up was Jamie Ross, who went down on the Wingnuts, and then David Wammelsdorf, who went out on the Slingshot. Which in this he's gone down on the fifth obstacle the last 4 seasons now.
Oh, interesting. And we've never heard of him.
Well, Wammelsdorf. We've definitely heard of Wammelsdorf.
Oh, I don't remember.
In the sense that we've definitely said his name before and been like, hey, Wammelsdorf.
Great name.
Yeah.
All right.
Then we got to Ethan Swanson, who we joined a bit late, and he is going to end up with the fastest time of the night, having already had the speed pass. He's going to, of course, do the swan thing at the top.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
I'm still mad at him for unfollowing me on Instagram.
Oof. Yeah, maybe.
It's okay. I hit him with the unfollow as well.
Ooh, you really got him.
Yeah, I bet he noticed and cares.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, my brand is failing now.
Yeah, I'm his brand.
They kept talking about how, like, a bunch of people from this, like, from, I don't know, this city that they're competing in or something, whatever it was, like, a bunch of people from the same place are all finishing the course or something.
Well, they said that everybody from Chicago was finishing the course. Like, everybody is from Chicago that finishes
but
the
this
course.
Is not
a but we're
Chicago.
In Cincinnati. Yeah, that's why they commented on it.
Okay.
It's just like this whole Chicago crew, because they're all friends with each other.
Right.
And they're all from Chicago.
All right. Well, then we got to Grant. Then we got to Jesse Lebrecht. Or no, sorry. We did do the Grant McCartney. Is he going to survive?
Yes. Cheering for the failures of others.
Yes, because he ends up with, what is it, 3 runners left or 4 runners left?
Yeah, and 3. And he just needs like all of them to fail, right?
I think he just needs, or I think it's 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now I don't remember. But he has 2 people ahead of him who would be disqualified first. So he needs he just needs some people to fail here.
Gotcha.
And so we see Jesse Wildman and Jonathan Cooley go down on the Slingshot. And that means that Grant is safe. He will make it to Vegas this year.
Yay.
Can't imagine this is how we wanted to do it, though.
Yeah. Not ideal to have your fate in other people's hands.
Yes. So then we get to Jesse Lebrecht. And again, I was like, there's a 0% chance in my eyes that she's not going to make this.
Yeah, because otherwise having her after Michelle makes no sense.
Yeah. But still very, very fun and cool to see. I'm sure it was, if you were there in the crowd, it would have been a lot more exciting. You wouldn't have known for sure that it was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's still exciting to watch.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We finally see it. Jesse Lebrecht finishes a city finals course. Very, very happy for Michelle and Jesse. I do kind of feel for Jesse Graff, though. Definitely. I feel like my theory that they're punishing her is still very much in play. Because I feel like, I think I saw somebody tweet at us that this was like, this was like they sent the wrong obstacle to like they mixed up the ninth obstacle,
the tracking order,
right? Yeah. Like they, like the last episode they accidentally sent the real the ninth obstacle from this episode to that one and got the eighth obstacle from this one.
Yeah, classic mix up.
Yeah. So what are you gonna do? Really, again, in my eyes, Jesse Graff has completed a City Finals course. Just, they don't do the invisible ladder anymore. Yeah,
it wasn't in competition, but she's completed stage one. She can finish the City Finals course.
Yes, but here we go. Jesse is going to complete it, become the third woman to ever finish a City Finals course. I wonder if we're going to see this more often now, or if this was like a blip, like this was a like a really easy course and we're not going to get another one like this, or if we're going to see more if it's going to see easier courses. I felt like we were going to see one of the Jessies complete a City Finals course without it being easy sooner or later, so I feel like we'll probably see that soon anyway.
I agree, and also the more women do it, the more women are going to be inspired to try out for the show and train harder, because it's one thing to have one person do it and look at Casey and be like, okay, like she can do it, but I'm not 95 pounds and like I'm not able to, like, I'm not a professional gymnast. I can't do a full split on the spider. So to see on the jumping spider. So to see different women of different heights and builds and all of that, you know, to an extent, obviously they all have an incredible body, but to see other women do it that maybe look more like you is like, the more women do it is going to lead to more women doing it.
Yes. So then we get to the Power Tower. It's going to be Ethan Swanson versus Michael Torres. My money was on Ethan Swanson here, but I was expecting this too, that this was the closest race for the final one.
For the last one, yes, you called it.
And so so we get to the Power Tower. It's still, even in this close race, was like, wasn't the most exciting because I don't love this Power Tower, but it really came down to which is really funny, because isn't this the season that Ethan Swanson, like in the qualifying package, was like, I trained for fear, and like I'm going to be fearless on the course.
Well, yeah, his whole thing was that he used to jump off of buildings.
Well, I think he still does.
Okay, well, they don't talk about it anymore.
No, that's what they talked about, that he was doing like his videos.
I don't think that was this season.
Are you sure? Man,
I'm not sure. Whatever.
I thought his whole thing this year was like taking what he has been doing in the past and spinning it into like, I train for fear now. And it's his hesitation at the end of the ladder here that ends up costing him the safety pass, and Michael Torres is going to snatch it up.
Yeah, snatched. And his dog Hershey, more importantly.
Yes.
Gets the speed pass. Or the power. What is it called? The
safety
second
pass.
Chance? Survivor second chance?
It's the safety pass.
Okay, safety pass. Got it.
Yes. So there you go. That was the Cincinnati City Finals. Next week, we will be in Vegas. We do have the list of runners here. Ethan Swanson was the fastest time and also was safe, so not part of the 12. We had Michael Torres was next, who won the safety pass. Then Dan Palizzi, Brandon Mears, Chris DeGangi, Jesse Lebrecq, and Michelle Warnke, all City Finals finishers. Then Tyler Smith and Philip Scott, who went down on the Spinball Wizard. And Trevor West, Grant McCartney, Sem Gray, and Dustin Rocco, who went out on Slam Dunk.
Yes. You know, an uplifting episode, if anything.
Yes.
And yes, we will be in Vegas next week, and I will be able to record closer to when those actually air.
Yes, we'll be more on time for those. It'll be interesting. Tell your friends to start listening.
Yes, we will have a lot of fun. And in lieu of a review this week, Taryn, I have some really exciting news.
Okay.
I watched Holy Moly.
Oh, boy.
I watched two full episodes.
You watched two episodes? I only watched one.
Because, okay, so I was at the beach house with my entire family, and there's eight of us. And so, like, when we were sort of like winding down, everybody's going to bed at different times, I just wanted to have something on the TV just for people to like sit around or whatever. And so I put on Holy Moly because it was on. There wasn't a whole lot on. And it's like a very agreeable family program. Like, you know, my older brother likes to laugh at people getting hit by things. Like my dad likes the funny commentary. Like, you know, it was pretty good. And we ended up keeping it on, you know, not everybody's sitting down and watching it straight through, but I ended up keeping it on for two full episodes.
There you go.
And it's not something that I would be able to, I think, like sit down by myself with my laptop and like watch an episode of Holy Moly. They're very long and very ridiculous, but it's like fun.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think of it?
Honestly, it's been a while.
What were your impressions?
My impressions were I am not watching a second episode.
It's so ridiculous.
When you hear mini golf competition, there's a significant lack of mini golfing.
Yes, there is. It's a lot of characters, a lot of Steph Curry, end of list.
Yeah.
And a lot of Rob Riggle.
Like, I would genuinely prefer to see just straight up like a mini golf tournament, like on C-SPAN or something, than what C-SPAN. Holy Moly was. I don't know. It's the most boring network that I can think of. PBS, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they can keep the like people getting hit by windmills and things. That's fun. They can keep the obstacles. I think the funny commentary is fine. Steph Curry is fine. I just think minimize the like videos of people, the packages of people just being like, I'm so ridiculous. Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. And then them doing that thing on the course in a very scripted way.
Yeah. And just, you know, more of the thing that your show is about.
Better. I think it's getting a season two.
Is it really?
Yeah, there was a casting call for season two.
Oh, boy.
And my boyfriend legitimately looked up the eligibility requirements and is like thinking of applying.
Well, go for it.
It's like the only reality show where like there's pretty much no skill or personality requirements.
Just has to have a thing.
Yeah, you just have to make up a thing.
He's the archer.
Yes.
Mini golfer.
Exactly.
It'll
yeah.
help him aim.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It is weird. There were like legitimate professional golfers on it.
Right.
And they were still missing putts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. You still have to putt in regular golf.
All right. So there's one more thing I think that we need to talk about. But I do want to say that if you would prefer to avoid any kind of notion of where what might happen in Vegas, where there's some previews and stuff. So we're going to talk about the previews for the Vegas finals. If you'd rather not hear those, then this is your opportunity to bounce out. Tune in next time.
Love you. I didn't watch the preview. I didn't know I was supposed to. I never watched the preview.
Honestly, I don't. I almost feel like I don't even want to talk because I think it became clear to me the fact that you were willing to go right to Holy Moly that you haven't seen this.
No, I definitely didn't watch it. Yeah,
I almost don't want to say, but I feel like they're gonna keep saying. So I don't know what. This is what I felt like with the podcast in general. The previews. For Vegas, I can say, without giving too much away, very spoilery.
Okay.
Very, very spoilery.
For stage one, for the whole thing?
For the whole thing.
Oh my God. Okay, so I know what that means.
Right? There's not even a way to say that it's spoiling without spoiling. And
yeah.
Not only spoil, like, it's... All right, so I mean, cat's out of the bag at this point. I gave you your warning, listeners, yeah. and sorry, Lita, if I'm.
It's fine. I'm guessing we have a winner.
The preview is like one ninja will win it all. Like what the fuck?
Taryn, this is a clean language podcast on IQ. Yeah, that is extreme. extremely WTF. They don't give any indication as to who it is, right?
No, no. But it's very much, it's very out there. Like, yeah. Matt, it confirms it in an interview. Like, they are talking about it. Like, there is going to be a winner this season. And I really hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, the four episodes already kind of indicated this.
Yeah.
But, like, at least there was still some doubt that, like, oh, maybe they just made it to stage four, but they're not going to actually complete stage four. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to get stage four runs, but they don't need to necessarily have gotten up it.
Yeah, or a ton of people make it to stage three.
Right, yeah, exactly. Part of what makes the show fun for me, and I'm sure lots of viewers, is the fact that you don't know, like, that people aren't usually going to complete the course, and every time you watch the Vegas finals, you're like, will this be the year? Can somebody do it? And there's tension all the way through, but now you know somebody's going to.
Yeah, and maybe it's that they think, like, well, maybe people who started watching after season 7, like, don't know if it's possible, or like they're bored of that. So we want to bring people in by making sure that they know that it's going to happen. I mean, the safety pass is big. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not surprised, but yeah, it's not a matter of it's a matter of who now. That, like, I mean, it's gotta be Drew, right?
I honestly hope so. Cause I feel like he deserves it. Not that other people don't, but, he's been at the top for so long. You really want to see him take it home. It could be Sean. It could be Najee. Yeah. It could be Joe. Somebody.
For some reason, I don't think it's going to be Joe this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Yeah, they didn't really hype him up too much.
Yeah,
in the qualifying rounds,
he didn't finish city finals.
Yeah, but nobody did, to be fair.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Right. But they didn't. But I see your point in that they didn't like really hype him up. And if they knew that he was going to, they probably would have hyped him up.
Right.
But it could be somebody completely random. I mean, that's what happened in season 7.
Michael Torres.
It was two completely random people. Yeah. It could absolutely be Michael Torres. You know, like, so we'll have to see about that. But my guess for why they did this is that they got a ton of press in season 7 when somebody finally won. It was all over the place. There were articles,
especially with how weird the situation was.
Right. And there were posts all over the place, but they probably saw that that didn't really translate to ratings that much because everybody learned about it after the fact. And they saw there were a bunch of eyes on it, but they didn't actually watch. They just probably watched like the YouTube clip of it happening.
Right.
And so I'm guessing that they're trying to get the news out now so that they get as many eyes on the actual episodes, watching them from start to finish, all four episodes, so that you can be a part of it as it happens. But still, like,
it does defeat the purpose.
What happens now, next year, when they don't say that a ninja is going to win? Right?
Like, oh, true. That's such a precedent. Okay. Oh, well, I will continue next year. Do not watch the previews.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think we just all have to go completely media dark for anything to worry. Apart from these podcasts, and we'll let you know if we end up talking about any spoilers.
Yeah. Wow, that's big. So you definitely want to stick with us so we can track who this might be.
Yes.
And also continue to make fun of production's choices.
Yes. So, stay tuned for the Vegas finals. It'll be four episodes. I'm sure it will be very interesting. I would hope that there's more than one person that makes it to stage four, so that there's at least some amount of... also, we've never seen anybody fail stage four.
Yeah, that's why when you were like, maybe people make it and don't fail, and they'll, I'm like, okay, maybe.
Yeah,
I guess. Is it just a rope?
Yeah, in Sasuke, people made it there all the time, and they failed all the time. It was like an actual stage.
Yeah,
instead of like a victory lap.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see. It should at the very. I'm excited that somebody won. I'm disappointed that it was spoiled for me, but I am excited, and I'm really excited to see who it was. And maybe it is more than one person. Who knows?
Yeah. If it's going to happen on any season, it'll be this one.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Lita, where can people find you?
You can find me not on Twitch anywhere. You can find me on Instagram at Lita Grammed and Twitter at Lita Tweeted. You can find my writing on my blog, LitaWrote.wordpress.com. And I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you once again for joining us. We will see you next week, which is actually in a couple of days, for the Vegas finals.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Taryn and Lita will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.